Gives me great pleasure this evening to welcome to our pulpit as our preacher, the Reverend Fred Greenfield. And he has an association with the work here that stretches back the 40 years since our Constitution. He was present in 1977 whenever the work was constituted. He was actually the senior minister at that time. And so I was wondering, if he was a senior minister 40 years ago, what that makes him this evening. He must be a senior minister when it comes to the meeting tonight. But he has that association, and we're very glad that he's back here tonight as a senior minister. And we're going to ask him to come now and to bring the word of the Lord to us. Thank you, brother.
Thanks. You think you'd come and help me up? Thank you very much, Reverend Kenny, for those words of welcome. Certainly a joy to be with you tonight and to be able to take part in the old time gospel campaign and the anniversary campaign. And we thank God for the work of God here in Dromore, for the testimony that has been raised up for God's glory and for the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And as our brother said, I was senior minister. Of course, I must have been a very young senior minister in those days, 40 years ago. In fact, I was preaching the other Sunday evening down in our church in County Monaghan, in Corrigarry. And I thought it was like, I chose my age, I thought it was like a 7-day camel ride getting there. But I got there eventually. And I was very tired because I'd been to Castle Derg one night, and then down to Corrigarry the next night. And as you know, both are long journeys. But a dear sister and her husband were getting out of the car and spoke to me. And she said, "It's a long time since you've been here." I said, "It is indeed." I said, "I think the last time I was in Corrigarry, I was a minister in Bond Bridge. And I remember taking a gospel mission down in Corrigarry." And I said, "I'm away from Bond Bridge just over 30 years. And so there you are now. Can't help it if I don't look over 30. I mean, just that's the thing. But the dear sister says, she says it was 32 years ago from you were here. For she says, I was saved on that mission. So that gave me a real boost and a real encouragement that night in the meeting. So it's good to be with you here in Dromore. We're so thankful for the word of God that is preached Sunday by Sunday from the pulpit here for the Lord's servant. We're thankful for the meetings as they have gone by. I was speaking to Reverend John Douglas yesterday, and he was telling me he really enjoyed fellowship in the meeting here. He says, "I mean, you're in Dromore some of these nights." I says, "That's right," and it's good to hear of God blessing the work. If you have a Bible with you tonight, we're turning to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis. And we're going to turn to the fourth chapter, please, of the book of Genesis. We're going to read from verse 1 of the book Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says that Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my keeper's brother? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 16. May God bless to us the public reading from his own inspired and his infallible word. Let's just bow together in a wee word of prayer as we turn again to God's word. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence already with us in our meeting. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion that we have been singing together. We thank thee, Lord, for the special ministry and song. And how we thank thee, Lord, that those who come to Christ stand complete in him, in life, in death, and in God's great eternity. And our fathers, we turn again now to thy precious word. How we thank thee for the word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet. It shows us exactly where we stand. It is a light unto our path, the Bible says. It shows us the way in which we are traveling. And our Father, we pray just now that you will bless thy word to every heart. And should there be one in our gathering, a man or woman or a young person, boy or girl, still a stranger to grace and to God. They know about the Lord Jesus. They could tell the stories of Jesus, but they don't know him as their personal Savior. We pray that ere this meeting should come to a close, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. So, Father, shut us in with thyself now, we pray. Bring every thought into captivity, we ask of thee. Center our hearts, our minds, our thoughts upon the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Redeemer of men and women. And may we leave this meeting tonight saying it was good to be here, because here we have met with thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the passage of Scripture that we read together this evening is a very, very familiar one, and the story of Cain and Abel. One verse that always springs to mind when you read that passage of Scripture is verse 9, and the end of the verse, it's Cain said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? It always sticks in my mind, because when I was at school, I used to have a running debate for a long time with one of my teachers, all about evolution. And one day, sitting in the classroom, we were having a bit of a debate, and the next thing was the secretary came, and she told this gentleman that there was a phone call for him. No mobile phones in those days, and so he had to go to the office to take the phone call. And before he left, he says to everybody, he says, now write me a paragraph, just one paragraph, he says, on the subject of evolution. And so I thought, now I couldn't scrape up enough for a paragraph, but I thought it was very smart. And I wrote a little sentence. I said, if evolution were true, Cain, or the monkey, would be justified in saying, am I my keeper's brother? Instead of saying, am I my brother's keeper? I thought it was good. He didn't really see the good side of it. And in those days, you got a crack on the ear. and no questions were asked. And so I always think about that verse. I always think too about this story, because the Bible says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And of course, when you're preaching the gospel in open air meetings, there'll always be someone who will come, and usually maybe the bit the worse off for a wee drop of drink, and they want to know, where did Cain get his wife? And I always ask, why, are you looking for one too? are you on the search? And that's one of the old chestnuts, one of the questions. But I want to think tonight, as you read this story, and the story of Adam and Eve, and their sons, Abel and Cain. But I want to think about a very important subject. It's the subject of sin. It's not a very popular subject in these days. There's no gospel hymn and it says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And beloved, those words are true. I remember years ago in the children's meetings, we used to sing a little chorus with the boys and girls. And the words of that chorus were very simple. S-I-N is a very little word, but it always spells disaster. And you must leave it very much alone, or it will become your master. And as you look at this passage of Scripture tonight, we can learn some very simple and yet stirring truths about the subject of sin and its consequences in every life. It's so sad to think that when God created Adam and Eve and placed them in that beautiful paradise, the Eden of God, and then we think about how our sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. And now we read that Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. It's so sad to think that the first baby ever born on this planet grew up to be a reviler of God and a murderer. That's an awful tragedy. An old evangelist was preaching on the subject of David's sin in Psalm 51. And he entitled the message, The High Cost of low living. And there is a cost. Because the Bible says in the book of Galatians, and it's round about the harvest season, the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, thank God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to think with me for a moment or two, as you read there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, about sin and its deception. Sin and its deception. Sin is a great deceiver. Men and women are deceived by sin, no matter what category that sin may take. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, as we are taught, because he was our federal head, our representative, the human race. Bible says we were in his loins. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the old catechism reminds us that they plunged the whole human race that was to come into an estate of sin and misery. So that every man or woman in this world, born naturally into this world, they were born in sin, the Bible says, in shape and in iniquity. But God gave them a promise. It's what theologians call the proto-evangel, or the first gospel message. And even after they had sinned, God spoke to them in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15. And God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and I shall bruise his heel. And God was speaking about a time when his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be born of the virgin in Bethlehem of Judea, when he would live a perfect, impeccable, sinless, faultless, flawless life. And then he would offer that life upon the old rugged cross of Calvary. He would shed his precious blood to make an atonement for our sin, to purchase for us eternal life, to buy back, as it were, to redeem us from soul's destruction, sin's destruction. And so when this little child was born into the home of Adam and Eve, Eve said in verse 1, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And the thought is that as God had promised that one day the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, Eve mistakenly thinks that this little child, her firstborn, is the Messiah who is to come. And so she called him Cain. And Cain literally means acquired. She says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Or as some would translate those words, I have gotten a man, the Lord. And so she was deceived. She was deceived. That's the extent of the deceptive nature of sin. When Abel was born, she called him Abel. And Abel means vanity. See, her hopes, her thoughts, her ambitions, her longings for this little lad Cain, she thought he was God's gift. He was God's Messiah come in to the world. Sin deceives. There's some verses in the Bible, and allow me just to mention them. In the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 20, God speaks about mankind. God speaks about you and me and our human nature. And God says, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul. Jeremiah the prophet said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And when you turn to the book of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs in chapter 20, the Bible says there in verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And we are reminded from the Word of God of the deceptive nature of sin, that men and women are deceived by sin. I worked for some time in an office in Belfast. And then I didn't really particularly like office work, and I thought I would like some kind of engineering work. and started in a factory. And I don't know how many young men and young women in those days were deceived by the booze. And other people would go with them and encourage them along that line. But the Bible says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. The book of Proverbs also tells us, who has woe, who has wounds without cause? Who is it? The proverb it talks about, it's like a man who's on the top of a mast on a ship in the midst of a storm at sea. And my, when you see whether it's young people or older people and they've become intoxicated and they're coming along and they're holding on to one another and they're falling on the ground and they're just in a mess. Who hath wounds and bruises without cause? We realize they're deceived. Deceived by the drink. In our day, deceived not only by the drink, but by the drugs. And what an awful culture the drug culture is. But you know, the Bible says in the Epistle to the Romans, and in the last chapter of Romans, in chapter 16, and these are very, very solemn words, speaking about false teachers and false prophets. And it says, they are such, Romans chapter 16 and 18, they serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And men and women are deceived by the booze. But there are others who are deceived by the fair speeches of men, false teachers, leaders of cults, leaders of different movements who delude and who deceive men and women. I have often said it in meetings, and maybe some of my own congregation are tired and they've heard it time and time again, but when I was a young fellow growing up in Belfast and going down to our capital city, there was gospel open air meetings on a Saturday afternoon. There were people giving out gospel tracts. There were people seeking to witness to others about God's great salvation. But now, you go down Royal Avenue and you can find astrologers, you can find palm readers, you can find tarot card readers, you can find teacup tea leaf readers, and you can find people from all sorts of cults and isms, and many are deceived by the fair speeches of men. An old preacher one time said, if you don't stand for the word of God, then you'll fall for anything. And if your life and your immortal soul not resting upon the promises of God's precious word and the gospel, my, it's so easy to be deceived and to be waylaid. And in fact, the Bible reminds us, as the Bible says, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In the first epistle of John, in the New Testament scriptures, in the verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And sometimes in gospel meetings, people say, well, the gospel is for the drunkard, or the drug addict, or the immoral man, or the immoral woman, or the robber, or the mugger, or for somebody else, but I'm a good person, I'm a religious person, I'm an upright person, I'm an honest person, I'm a good citizen, I'm a man or woman of integrity, and that's not for me. And so they say to themselves, I'm not a sinner. All these other people are sinners. But if we say we have no sin, John says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because God says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah says that great prophecy about the death of Christ upon Calvary's cross in Isaiah chapter 53. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So when we read here in Genesis chapter 4, we read about sin and its deception. But you notice, we read also about sin and its division. Sin separated man from God when our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden. The first, as it were, the first recorded sin records that sin separated, there was a division. It separated man from God. My, the Bible tells us that every day God walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And he had sweet communion with Adam and Eve. But when they sinned and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, the Bible says they ran and they hid themselves behind the trees of the garden. Fellowship, that unity that they had, that sweet communion with God was broken. And the first recorded sin separated man from God. Here's a sin, and it's recorded here, it separated man from man. Cain went out and he slew his brother Abel in the field. Sin divides. Sin divides families, brother from brother, sister from sister, parents from their children, children from their parents. And of course, the awful consequences of sin divides, because death is in this world because of sin. And there's destruction and trouble between the nations of the world, between the people groups of the world, between the tribes and the kingdoms and all kinds of classes and creeds. And there's trouble and there's division because of sin. Every day in the United Kingdom, every day in the countries across the world, magistrates, judges are officiating in all sorts of trials and court cases dealing with murder, violence, rape, incest, divorce. And our nation has got away from God. And it's sad because sin divides. There's a terrible division because of sin. And Cain slew his brother Abel, and there was a division there in that family. Can I just close by saying there's not only sin's deception, it is a deceptive thing. It is a divisive thing. It's a devastating thing. The Bible speaks about the devastation of sin. Think of it. He murdered his own brother. Cain and Abel were brought up in the same home. They were taught the same things. They probably asked the same questions. What was it like in the Garden of Eden? What was it like when God came and walked and talked with you, mother and father, in the garden day by day? They were instructed in the way to approach God, that was on the basis of shed blood. And so Abel came and he offered the firstling of the flock. He offered a lamb. The lamb was slain, the blood was shed, picturing, symbolic, prophetic, of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come into the world and shed his sinless blood upon the cross for sinners. But Cain came, and he offered of the fruit of the ground. He didn't want to come God's way, he wanted to come his own way. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, it's a way of death. And that's always the story. When man goes his own way, when man does his own thing, when God says, when God's word is rejected and God's ways are set aside and man goes his own way, then there's always devastation and destruction. Even when God spoke to Cain, God asked him, "What hast thou done? Where is Abel thy brother?" God says, "Cain, if you do not well, sin lieth at the door." And it literally means sin, the sin offering's at the door. You can make an offering for sin just as Abel did. But he didn't want that. He didn't want God's way. He wanted his own way. That's the way men and women live today. Don't let anyone curtail me. Don't let anyone tell me what is right or wrong. I'll just live my own way, whichever way I please, just whichever the notion takes me. Let me do my own thing. Forget about this book, the Bible. Forget about the moral laws of God. Just leave me alone. You see the awful state of the land in the days of Judges, when the Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and it was tragic. But when God spoke to Cain, it's as if Cain sneered back at Almighty God, and he says, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Didn't want to know. That's the attitude of so many in the days in which we live. And then, of course, when you think about that devastation and that separation and that home, and God says, Cain, the voice of thy brother's blood that crieth unto me from the ground. The Bible says that God held Cain to account. And the Bible says there are those tragic words that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And there's not the slightest evidence that he ever repented. In fact, at the end of the New Testament, in the book of Jude, just before the Holy Scriptures close with the book of Revelation, Bible says in verse 11 of the book of Jude, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. God is speaking about apostasy, about a turning away, about a rejection of his word and his gospel and his truth. And he says, people who do so, they have gone in the way of Cain. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You know, it would be a terrible tragedy if a man or woman heard the gospel in this mission. And they went out from the presence of the Lord. This is a season of grace. When the gospel is preached, not just on the Sabbath day, but when the gospel is preached night after night, it's a time when God, in grace and in his mercy, visits a locality. And there's not one of us in this meeting here tonight by accident. We're here in the providence of God to hear a very simple message about sin and this deception and this division and this devastation. But thank God it doesn't end there. Thank God the Bible speaks about deliverance from sin. The Bible reminds us here that Abel was a man of God and he served God, and he goes down in history as a martyr for his faith. He was slain. But it was absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And it's still the same. There's only two ways. There's God's way and there's man's way. There's God's gospel and there's man's idea and man's philosophy. And the thing is tonight, on which way are you walking? Are you going according to God's way? Have you realized that you are a sinner? Have you repented of your sin? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Just as Abel came to God with the firstling of his flock, and on the merits of the shed blood, he approached the Almighty. And it's only on the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who came into the world to save sinners, who died an atoning death for you and for me upon Calvary's cross. And the Bible says, as many as received him, John 1 and 12, as many as received Christ, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Cain heard the voice of God, but he snapped and he sneered back at God. He went his own way. And then he went out from the presence of the Lord. God forbid that any would do that here tonight and no more. But as the old hymn says, if God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom, but be in time. Come, while the door of God's mercy is open to you. Come, heed the invitation, and come to Christ, and receive him as your own personal Savior. May God bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.